Father, we would like you to use us. And so we surrender. We surrender what we know. We surrender what we don't know. Father, we surrender our lips. You touched the lips of Jeremiah. You touched the lips of Ezekiel. You touched the lips of Isaiah. And they were never the same again. Your word says when they looked at the apostles and they saw that they had been with the Lord, they were different. Lord, we just come as we are. But we know you want to make us different. So we pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will have his way in us. Have your way in me, O God. Have your way in my family. Have your way in my work. Have your way in my understanding. Have your way in my knowledge. Have your way in me, O God. Have your way. Have your way in us, O God. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary for you. There's another part that goes with that song that says, keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour. Keep me true. Let's try that one more time. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour, keep me true. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the living God. I promise you I'm going to release you from here quite early. My family is not here. I was expecting them, but they'll probably come. They're probably not. I know that Mary, our little daughter, is going back to school. And so they went with Mom Ali to try and do what moms do for last-born daughters when they're going away to school, even when they're going to come back 1 week later. And they said, oh, no, no, we'll make it. We'll be in time for church. But, you know, thank God for phones. So I was on phone saying, hey, where are you guys? Well, I can see one of them is walking in. Not the others, but one at least is walking in. I think she thinks I'm embarrassing her. No, I'm not. Hallelujah. Last week, for those of you who were here, we looked at worship. And we looked at the book of Revelation as a book of worship. The book of Revelation many times is looked at by people as one of those scary books, very difficult to understand because everybody thinks in terms of the apocalypse and Gog and Magog and Armageddon and this beast and that seal and how many seals are there, how many angels are there, how many, you know, all those very, they just kind of overwhelm you. But I've been saying to us, when you begin the book, it's a revelation that actually God requires us to to acquaint ourselves with. That's why he revealed it. But when you look at the book of Revelation, it is really revealing who Jesus is. It's who Jesus is. It's what Jesus is. It's what Jesus sees and what he's doing and what he has accomplished and what he's accomplishing. And so it's a book about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a book of worship. And last week we looked at worship and we looked at a dictionary definition of the of worship. And we looked at the fact that worship is both an attitude and an act. And then we explained why, you know, as an act, what it is, and as an attitude, what it is. And I just want to continue and complete on worship. If I will, I might not. Pastor and I were having a chat at the end of church, and we said, you can do the whole year on worship. Because the entire Bible is on worship. And God is worship. So we could talk about worship an entire year, and we don't finish. And I have been reading through what other people think about worship and what they say about worship. It's amazing. And I came to this conclusion. Worship doesn't have one single definition. No. And I say to myself, worship and love are two words you can't actually define. Because if somebody asks you what is love, what you begin doing is to define the acts of love. But you can't define love. What is love? And so you try to define love by talking about the acts of love. And the same thing about worship. What is worship? What exactly is worship? So you begin to talk about the acts of worship and the things about worship. And I found this definition, you know, according to Webster. Is Webster? Yes, in the dictionary. And Webster says, worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. And I felt that is it. That captures it for me. That right there is a great summary for me. Extravagant love. Yes. Unlimited. Yes. Holding back nothing. Amen. Giving it. Pouring it out. Right. And that's what God is looking for. Yes. You know, I used to travel a lot. I still do, but not as much as I did. There was a time I really traveled. And you would come home, and when you walk home, and you know, the children just come and they want to try and lift you. Of course, they can't because you're six times their, you know, size, but they just pour out their love. You know, you just see innocent love being poured out. And I think that's what God is expecting from us. Yes. Pour out that innocent love. And by the way, it doesn't have to be perfect. No, it doesn't have to be perfect. As we shall see as we go along. Anyhow, let me go back to my text. I hope I've set the ground. So what does it mean to worship God? What does it mean to worship God? One of the few times that Jesus talked about worship, he talked about God seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And let me tell you, it is so difficult to define what worship in the Spirit means. If you are Pentecostal evangelical like we are in this church, worship in the Spirit can mean anything from dancing around this church, you know, worshiping and praising God and feeling, you know, to speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues and just let it to nabah. That's what the language is. You just pour it out. Let it flow. But it can also mean just being quiet. Hannah was in the presence of God. And all the priest could see was the moving lips of a drunken woman. And yet she was in the Spirit. Pouring it out. And brethren, I want to encourage us to pour it out. You know, if you're not yet pouring it out, it's not what we do here. But when you are alone in that place, and everybody has gone away and you're by yourself and you can kneel and pour it out. Sometimes I try to, you know, as when I'm pouring it out, I'm trying to squeeze myself in the smallest space I can get into. Behind the sofa or something, just really so nobody's really seeing, but you know, I can't even disappear behind that space but for obvious reasons. Hallelujah! True worship starts and takes place on the inside, it is not what takes place on the outside, but what takes place on the inside. And what takes place on the inside is then made manifest on the outside. So what for us we see, when we see you dancing, we are only seeing a photograph of your heart. A manifestation of what is already happening down there. And when you feel limited, you feel inhibited, the inhibition is not physical. No. The inhibition is spiritual. It's in there. Once the inside person is released, the outside person doesn't matter. And that's what happened to King David. His inside person was released. At that stage, the royal robes meant nothing. He could throw them off. And so, that's why God said to Samuel, the prophet, God is more interested in the heart than on the outside. Now, let me tell you, friends, some of us are expressional. Some of us, it comes so easily. Others, even to say amen in church is like you are disturbing God. You know, wait a moment. Now, there's nothing wrong with one or the other. But if you can, hey, why not? Hallelujah. I told you this story before about the man who used to go out preaching and he didn't have a shoe. And he loved preaching. But every time he came back to the church and the preacher preached, oh my God, he was all the time, hallelujah, amen. And he was so loud in the church that one person was disturbed. This person went to this brother and said, brother, if you keep quiet in church, I'll buy you shoes. Oh, the man had been praying for shoes. So he kept quiet. The preacher preached and he wanted to say amen. He couldn't. Every time he wanted to say hallelujah, he remembered the shoe. He kept quiet. At one stage, he jumped up and said, shoe or no shoe, hallelujah. brethren, shoe or no shoe, hallelujah. Car or no car, hallelujah. Job or no job, hallelujah. Husband or no husband, hallelujah. That's why God said to Samuel, do not look at his outside, look at the heart. Why? Because Jeremiah 17:9 tells us the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, full of schemes. We are sitting here, but if God opened each one of our hearts, we would all run out. Because the heart, I don't know what is in your heart. I wonder why a man wakes up and kills the wife he says he loves. Why a wife gets up and stabs the man she loves to death. The heart is desperately wicked. But that is the thing God is interested in. That is why the devil is also trying to take the same thing, because that's the thing God wants. But you know, to worship God in truth, Jesus is the truth. So basically what Jesus was telling woman, that you have to worship God in me. I am the truth. But how do we get the truth? The truth is the word of God. But guess what is happening today? A Christian can go a whole day, a whole week, a whole month, a whole year without reading the word of truth. And yet God has made it very easy for us today. Because you just need a CD with the word of God, push it in, and drive. And the word soaks in as you drive. But you know, it is not very easy. Many times you would rather put on some funny music. I see people pass me and I say, one of these days I think these people, the world, people are going to get crazy. You see somebody alone in their car. And I say, hey, do I want to be ahead of him or behind him? Put in the CD the word. Hallelujah. Because not all of us are very good at reading, by the way. Reading can be very boring. And the older you become, the smaller the letters become. Some glasses you read and the eyes hurt. But you put in the CD and it plays. So the word of God. But Webster talked about extreme submission. One important thing there is humility. Humility, humility. You can't worship somebody unless you honor them. Humility. And for us Christians, somebody said, and by the way, when I say somebody, I've read it, but I don't remember who I read. So, and I don't want to claim it's my idea. Because, you know, if I claimed it's my idea, then I look very smart, right? But somebody else said it. So, let me attribute somebody. I don't know. I don't remember who, but I'm attributing it to somebody. Somebody said, for a Christian, the lower you go, the higher you get. The lower you go on your knees, the higher you get spiritually. The higher you get in the revelation of God. But it all comes with how low you're willing to bring yourself in the presence of God. And I'm not there yet. I'm not saying I'm there. By the way, when I preach to you, I'm preaching to myself. This is my gospel to me. But humility, humbling ourselves before God. And humility can mean many things. That's a sermon on its own. What is humility? Humility can be as simple as removing what I think I know and allowing what the Lord is teaching me to replace that which I think I know. And that is the most difficult thing about humility. Because there was this prophet who prophesied and told the king, "Oh, God says you go and you're going to win all your enemies. Oh my goodness, who?" And he got the horns. You know the horns? He got the horns and used them to demonstrate strength. And he said, just like these horns, so God is going to make you strong and gouge out all your enemies. There was another small prophet in that meeting whom the king did not even want talk to. Because the king knew that man never prophesies good things. He doesn't have a prosperity gospel, that man. So the king said, anyway, can you also say something? And the man says, if you go and win this battle and come back alive, then I'm not a prophet of God. The prophet said, the king said, I knew you never say good things about me. But the other first prophet, the one who had prophesied great things, moves over, goes and slaps this man and says, when did the Spirit of God move from me to you? Humility. The Spirit of God can move from me and use Mercy. And I'm using Mercy because she's my daughter, so she's younger. And she's also physically smaller, right? You know, I remember we traveled as a family last year to Canada to go and visit our daughter Esther. And we were driving from... Esther took us to see some beautiful island. We had spent the whole day there. And we are driving back in the car. And we started with a CD. We listened to some preacher. She preached, finished. And then played some, you know, songs we were playing. And I think the songs finished. And then we started singing in the car. And we sang one song. And we sang a second song. It became a little bit of kind of a competition. Who is going to start the next song? So you know this song, and then somebody else would bring this song. And I could sense a stirring in the vehicle, a spiritual stirring in the vehicle. And I could sense it, but I was driving, so I had to remain sober. Because if I begin to close my eyes on the highway. But you know, and Master, I didn't ask you for permission to say this, but I'm using you today. You know, I'm picking you on you today, right? Hallelujah. Maybe that's why God brought you. And Master just takes off in the spirit. In worship. And prophecy. And everybody in the car. Oh my God, I said, whoever was outside there listening to this car. And we were worshiping and praising God. And I just felt like if there was a place, I would just park. And we just enjoy this moment. But the Spirit of God can move, can jump me, the father in the house, and use the children to the glory of His name. Humility. I know that men often think it's us who know. God uses me. But God can use your wives. God can use your children. God can use servants. God can use the least expected people. Naaman, depending on where you grew up, was a great Syrian general in the army. But he was a leper. He would go out and conquer armies and come back, but whenever he removed his clothing, there was this small girl who was in his house. She would sneak peek and see this man's skin and say, "Oh my God, my boss is a leper." But she was a slave girl. And one day she spoke out and said to her master, "If only my master could go back to my land in Samaria, there is a man of God there who can heal him of that leprosy." She was a small peasant slave girl. Because of her confidence and courage, when she poured out her heart, she poured out what she believed on God, Naaman got healed of his leprosy.
Glory to God. Bless the Lord.
Worship is offering ourselves for God's service. Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, all of us know that very well, right? Hallelujah. Okay, let's all say it together. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your..." "...an acceptable..." Wow, let's stop there. Hallelujah. "I beseech you, brethren," Paul says, "by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies, yourselves, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your act of service." That is the greatest act of service any one of us can do. To offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. But, you know, in that particular scripture, there are a few things I want to speak to. Number one, do you realize we do not offer our bodies of our own ability? He says, by the mercies of God. So, God is so good that He asks us to present ourselves, but then He makes it possible for us to do it. God will never ask you to do anything that is too great for you. If God is asking you to do it, He knows you can handle it. He knows you can do it. It may sound impossible, it may sound difficult, but He knows you can do it. That's the motivation. The greatest motivation for worship is because God wants it. God loves it. God desires it. We don't worship God. By the way, we don't do God a favor. There's a song we sing, and sometimes I say, do I want to say that? We say, "Lord, you are worthy of all my praise." By the way, no. What is our praise to God?
Come on. Come on.
With or without our praise, He is worthy. Right. He is worthy of all praise.
Yes. Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not criticizing the brother or sister who wrote that song. No, no, no. But God is worthy. But also notice that Paul is saying, give your bodies. One of these little stories, and I tell these stories. By the way, I realize that people remember more the stories than the hard stuff, which is why Jesus used parables anyway. But I hear there was a debate between a chicken and a pig as to who loves the farmer, their boss, most. And the chicken bragged over the pig and said, "You have no clue how much I love my boss. Every day, faithfully, I lay an egg for him. Every morning he eats an egg from me. I love him so much. And the pig said, you have no clue, sister, what you are saying. I have given my whole body for him to eat bacon. So the pig gave the whole body. We need to give our whole body. It's not only my hands God is looking for. It's not only my eyes and ears. It's not only my legs. God is looking for the whole me. To love him. To worship him. Living and acceptable. God doesn't want us dead, by the way. Sometimes the temptation is to think, if I can die for God now, God would be happy. No, 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 no. He wants living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. So we have to be careful to keep alive. Hallelujah. Now that involves very many things, and I don't want to go there. But I'm sure Brother Carl has been anointed to speak about how all of us can keep alive more. So we can serve God better. Hallelujah. And that's why God raises men like Brother Carl in the church, so they can teach us. Amen. How to eat well. How to remain living so that we can continue to worship God. The other day, I was sharing the gospel with some Muslim man. He's the one who started it, by the way. And he thought he was going to convert me to become a Muslim. And so I listened, actually. And I made him believe that actually he could do it. Because that's the way you actually share. You open yourself up and then you turn. And when I turned, I said, by the way, you know that Jesus loves you so much. And the man says, oh no, by the way, Jesus, we the Muslims love Jesus even more than you Christians. I say, oh yeah, that's great. And he says, I love him so much that I can die for him. And I said, but brother, do you know what? God doesn't want you to die for him. He has already died for you. Ah! That became too hard. But God wants us alive so we can worship him. So we can serve him. Worship is transformation, and it transforms. Worship is transformation. You can't be in worship and go away the way you came. Amen. How many of you are feeling at home? Let me see how many people are feeling at home here. That is the biggest problem we have. Because some of us left unpaid bills at home. Some of us left home when things were not going well, right? And so you are in church, but you're feeling at home. So you will leave the church and you go back home and you are still feeling like you came. No, now I want you to feel at Jesus. Just feel like you're at the presence of God. Don't feel at home. Hallelujah. That was a light one, but it delivers a message. Please don't feel at home here. Feel at Jesus. Feel at Christ. Forget about home for a while when you are here. Hey, whether they're unpaid bills, forget about home for that time. Let's just focus on Jesus. Worship is transformation. You know, if, and I'm going to be very selfish here. If since you began coming to this church, you still feel like you felt on the first day when you came, it is time to look for another church. I really believe that every day we come in worship, we should be transformed. It should leave us transformed. And by the way, there are times I come to church and I don't feel like coming to church that day.
There are days you drag yourself to church. Am I alone? You drag, but sometimes you drag yourself. You look for all sorts of excuses that will drag you here. And by the way, all those excuses, God honors them. Maybe one of them is just, what will they think of me? Okay. Maybe one of them is, maybe I'll find some transformation there. Maybe I'll find there some brethren we shall talk and laugh and have some fun. Maybe they might be celebrating somebody's birthday and there may be a good cake. All those are good reasons. Hallelujah. But the moment you walk through that door and walk in here, something must begin to take place. Something must change inside there. Because you have brought yourself and you have connected yourself to the source. Let me tell you, worship is the socket. Worship is the socket that connects us to the source of power. This music instrument without this plug here to go into the socket is helpless. But the moment we take it and connect it to the source. So there are things that begin to change just because I walked in there. There's a song I love. It says, when I walked through the door, I sensed God's presence. Ha! You, if you walk there and you don't sense God's presence here, ask yourself something. Is it me? Is it the place I've gone to? You know, there are places you'll walk in, you'll go in, and you immediately know, no. I have no business in this place. There was a time a new church started in my country. And a friend of mine, a neighbor, really begged me to go with their family to this church. And I don't rush for new churches. For obvious reasons. It's very important, by the way. Just because something new is happening and it's very exciting, don't rush. So anyway, I said, okay, we will go. And we went. And the moment I walked through that door, I said, mm-mm. Something inside there didn't agree. And when we went out, they said, also, how did you like the service? I said, no. It was good, but I think it raised a few questions in my mind. It didn't take long before I was proved right. Only God is to be worshipped, Revelation 19. The angel who spoke to John says, I turned to worship him. And he lifted me up and said, do not do this. I am a man like you. I'm a servant like you. A servant of those who carry the testimony of Jesus Christ. Only God is to be worshipped. And for those who doubt that Jesus is God, I'm going to give you yet another scripture. Well, I know nobody here doubts. But for those of you who speak to people who doubt out there, let me give you another scripture you can give to them which proves that Jesus is actually God. Because the premise is only God is to be worshipped. So get them to agree on that. Once they agree that only God is to be worshipped, then take them to Matthew chapter 2. Yeah. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. The Bible tells us when the three wise men came from the east. Right. The Bible says when they reached the king's palace, the star disappeared from them. Right. And so they came to the king and they said, oh, there is a star we are following. Da, 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 da. You know the whole story. Christmas is coming, so all of you are prepared. But then the king said, well, we don't know where the star went. When you go, if you get it and you find the child, come back and tell me. The Bible says as soon as they left the palace, the star showed up, appeared again. And they saw they followed it. And when they followed the star, the Bible says they found the child in a manger with the mother. And what did they do? They fell down and worshipped him. If they could worship him as a baby, how much more as a risen king?
That's right. Yes. Yes. Amen.
I'm finishing. Hallelujah. Worship is how we let God know what we think of him. Worship is how we let God know of how we think of him. It could be through music and singing. And those who are gifted in this area, like Pastor Pat, hallelujah. And James says in chapter 5, verse 13, is any of you happy? Sing songs of praise. But I also want to say that we can sing songs of praise in worship to God when we are sorrowful. You know it is well. One of the most powerful worship songs in life ever. It was not birthed out of a happy moment. It was birthed out of a painful situation, which involved loss of life, which involved loss of property, which involved loss of dignity and loss of humanity. So yes, when things are going well, it is well. When things are not going well, it is well. There was a king, and I've told you this one before, but I'll say it again. There was a king who wanted his pages or his servants to make something for him that would keep him happy all the time. So he said, he called his wise men and women and said, I want you to go and manufacture something that will keep me happy all the time. It will keep me happy when I'm angry. It will keep me happy when I'm sad. It will keep me happy when I'm happy. They went and tried. And tried. And tried. And they gave up. And the king said, if you do not, you are dead. And one day, one man comes to the palace and says to the guards, I have something that will make the king happy. And they look at him, and he has nothing in his hands. And they say, what do you have? And he says, I have it. They say, where is it? He says, no, it's for the king. It's not for you. So take me to the king. He said, well, since you are saying you have something, but you know if the king doesn't like what you have, you will die, right? He says, yes. So they take him to the king. And when he gets to the king, he gives to the king a ring. Just a ring. But on the ring was written the following words. Even this will pass away. And the king looked at it and fell in love with it. Because when he was sorrowful, even this will pass away. When he was happy and excited, even this will pass away. And brethren, I say to all of us here, whatever you are going through, even this will pass away. Be encouraged because even this will pass away. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I don't have time to take you through the book of John, but I would have taken you through the entire book of John, but John chapter 14. Jesus discusses the love of God with worship and prayer together. So worship and love go together. You worship God because you love him. And we worship him because he loved us. But let me conclude with a few thoughts here, about four sore thoughts, and we finish today. Prayer is God's perfume. Amen. You know, when I read in the Old Testament, there's one thing that used to confuse me, but it didn't confuse me, it just kind of mesmerized me. Because why would God insist about a particular type of fat to be burned on the altar. A specific type of fat. And, you know, they had to be careful to cut that particular fat. If they brought any other type of fat, God didn't approve. But when they brought to the altar, they had to cut a particular type of fat and come and offer that as an... And the Bible says God loved the aroma. I mean, I don't know whether you like me, but probably, you know, I'm alone. I'm in my own world. When I read the scriptures like this, I'm trying to understand some of these things. I mean, what is the sense in this? It's not that I'm challenging the word of God, but I need to understand it. Hallelujah. But turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 8. Are we there?
Yes.
Revelation. Can somebody found it? Can somebody read it for me?
Now, when he had taken the scroll of fallen creatures, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints.
The four golden creatures that worship in the presence of God. Each one of them has a bowl. That bowl, they offer incense to God. That aroma. In the Old Testament, it was fat from lambs and bulls. In the New Testament, the Bible is telling us that incense is what? The prayers of the saints. Now, brethren, we need to keep our angels busy. The Bible says God has assigned angels to each one of us. But if your angel is going to God and he has no incense to present, because the Bible says the essence. Let's add on, because I think I'm saying some foreign things here and I'm in danger of being. Let me take you now to chapter 8, book of Revelation again. Look at verse 3. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. Worship is prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Pray when it is possible, pray when it is impossible. Pray when it is good, pray when it is not good. Pray in season, pray out of season. Pray, pray, pray. Because the prayers that we offer is the incense that goes up to the Father. The angels are holding a censer. Our prayers are mixed for God to enjoy. God loves it when his children worship him and speak to him. And finally, why do we worship God? We worship God. Let's do it together. Why do we worship God? Let me see this side. Why do you worship God? He's worthy. That's it. We worship God because God is? How about this side? Why do we worship God? Because he revealed himself to us. We can't worship what we don't know. Why else? What? Why do you worship God? Decide. Sorry? To give him glory. The glory is his. Who else do we give it to? Anyway, let me give you a few others that I thought about here. And you may not like them, but Number one is just because he's God. God is God. The other day we were having a conversation with our son Emmanuel, and you know he's a teenager, right? Those of you who have been teenagers, you know what I'm talking about, right? And those of you who are teenagers, you know, well, we don't have any other teenagers, it turns out, actually. He's the only teenager, right? He's not here anyway. But I know his sister will tell him that he talked about you in church. Anyhow, and he's studying philosophy in school, right? So if you're a teenager and you're studying philosophy and you're a philosopher and you're a wrestler, you know, you know that. You know that, right? Well, I'm just trying to bring you into my world. I'm just trying to bring you into my world a little bit. And, you know, so he's telling us how in their school, in their philosophy class, they actually proved the existence of God. And I'm saying, amen, hallelujah. That's very important for him. But of course, we all know that we have no business trying to prove to anybody that God exists. You know, there was a time I was really bothered trying to prove to people that God exists. Ah, if you don't believe God exists, the Bible says you are a fool. That's all. That's all. Because the Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no. So if you tell me, okay, prove to me that God exists, I say prove to me that you're not a fool. Anyway. Number two, because God loves worship. By the way, brethren, God loves worship. He does. And because he loves it, let's give it to him. I was in Nigeria. And I was attending a church there, the church that at the time Brother Simpson and family attended when I went there to visit. And we were in the church, and the pastor, it was time to come and preach. But we had been in such a time of praise and worship. And the pastor stands up and he says, brethren, I just feel in my heart, we just need to continue with this worship. No word today. And we just worshiped. And let me tell you, the presence of God, I can't explain it to us. There are times you just praise and worship. When it is time for prayer, you don't have to be necessarily pray. You may just praise, just worship, because God loves it. Hallelujah. And if you are gifted with dance like my sister, just dance in his presence. He loves it because his mercies are great. Brethren, the mercy, if it was not for the mercy of God, and that's what led us to name, I told you I'm picking on you today. That's why what led us to name our daughter Mercy. Just to keep reminding us of the mercies of God. At that time, we were reading about the mercies of God and the mercy seat. And so when God gives us a child, we just say, this is the mercy of God. Amen. And the way Mercy came, and I'm going to reveal her secret here. The way Mercy was born, I left my wife home and I went to work. And she was doing her normal chores, you know. Honey, are you okay? Well, yeah. No, I don't call her honey. Just, yeah. 2 hours later, somebody comes to my office and says, your wife has given birth. Really? Okay. I mean, it happened like that. The mercy of God. God is so merciful. Think of what you would be today if it wasn't for the mercy of God. Think of where you would be. Some of us would now be drunk by this time. Maybe all your front teeth would have broken out because of tobacco and all the things that go with it. You sisters, maybe your husband would be hitting you every morning. He wakes up and the good morning is... So thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the mercy of God. Where would I be? What would I be? Maybe I wouldn't even be able to stand here. I wouldn't. Certainly not maybe. I wouldn't be able to stand here. Where would I? You'd have never known a man from Uganda. You wouldn't. But the mercies of God make me stand here and share about the goodness of the Lord. And the last two things that I want to mention about why we worship God. Because of what he does in us and for us. There is no doubt about it that when God does something spectacular in your life, you praise more, right? Yeah. You dance more, right? Yeah. Woohoo! You get a new contract. Yeah. God is great. Amen? Unfortunately, there are many people who worship God so that they can try to get something from God. We don't need to worship God to get anything from God. The Bible says he has given us everything that we need. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your word says in the midst of much talk, there lacketh not evil. If there is any evil in what we've said, forgive us. But Lord, we want to worship you. We just want to honor you. We just want to give you the glory. And we come before you this day to say, great are you, God. And we join with the 24 elders. And we join with the angels, the multitudes of the angels in heaven. We join with the creatures in heaven to say, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy and worthy is the Lamb to be praised and to be worshipped. And Lord God, as we depart from this place and go away, we pray that you go before us and go with us, O God. Bless us, strengthen us, encourage us, O God. Hallelujah. And continue to reveal yourself to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen. 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 Amen.